you, preacher. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. I do appreciate the privilege to be here today, and I love preachers. I do. I love preachers. I'd rather preach to prisoners, but I love preachers. Amen. I appreciate my pastor, and amen. I'd rather hear him preach than any of you, and I mean that. And thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve here, and what a privilege and honor it is to me. I'll be in Genesis 39 here in just a moment. There are many, and I'm not a baker, but there are many different stages, I suppose, of bread being prepared. And I feel like that this thought is, Brother Durden, somewhere in the stage where the it's rising a little bit, but it hadn't hit the oven just yet. Early this morning, I was pumping a septic tank, of all things, and the Lord began to work on. He can deal with you anywhere you are. Amen. And he and I had a time standing beside that truck, I promise you. And he blessed my heart, and it's nowhere near where I'd like it to be, but it's the burden of my heart at this moment, and I'd like to share it with you. I'll be in Genesis 39 here in just a moment. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." One of the most interesting characters in the Bible to me is the man Moses. Moses was born in Goshen, and he was raised in Egypt. He was prepared by God in the desert wilderness. He was called by God at the burning bush for one distinct purpose. One purpose in his heart. And that was to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Moses had the promise of God. He had the call of God. He had the staff of God in his hand. However, when Moses went before Pharaoh to do what he felt within his heart was the will of God, he stood before Pharaoh the very first time, told him what God said, and Pharaoh said, "No, I will not let the children of Israel go." In fact, while Moses was doing what he believed that God had put on his heart to do, what God had called him to do, the one purpose in his life, Pharaoh multiplied the burden upon the people that Moses was trying to help. I could almost hear Moses and Aaron as they were leaving the presence of Pharaoh. Moses must have leaned over to Aaron and said, "That didn't go like I thought it was going to go." From that time, God sent 10 different plagues upon the nation of Egypt. Each time that Moses would face Pharaoh after a plague had come upon the land of Egypt, Moses would go before Pharaoh, no doubt, Brother Kevin, feeling just like you and I would, that surely this man's heart has softened to the place that he's ready to obey God and allow the children of Israel to leave the land of Egypt. After all, Moses did have the promise of God. He did have the call of God. He had been prepared by God. And Brother Tarvin, he had the staff of God in his hand. But after each of the first 9 plagues, Pharaoh refused to let God's people go. I'm still convinced that every time he would leave the presence of Pharaoh, he would again say to Aaron, "That didn't go like I thought it was going to go." Have you ever said that in your life? Things just aren't going like I thought they were going to go. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand or in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass as he spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house, spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in the Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. She laid up his garment by her unto the Lord, his Lord came home. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant unto me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, just a moment, let me share my thought with you today, if I may. You begin to look at the life of Joseph, and you find that from the very beginning, God begins to bless this young man. Every dream that he had was directed by God and was prophetic, and God brought all those to pass. We know again from the very beginning that within his own house, his brothers hated and despised him because of the fact that God's hand was upon him, that God was blessing him, that God was using him, that God was speaking through him. Amen. We find that several terrible things happened in the life of Joseph. Obviously, we know now, because we're reading the account in the scriptures, we know that God was using all those situations, all of those difficulties, all of those problems that he faced, God was using them to train him for something much better than what he was experiencing at the present time. God was using those things in his life to bring him to a place to accomplish much greater things than Joseph himself ever imagined that he would accomplish. We find that after the
coat of many colors has been torn and the blood of an animal applied, taken to his father. They told his father that a wild animal had killed him. We find that he was sold into bondage. There was a train coming through. They caught the train of camels, put Joseph on there for the 30 pieces of silver. Joseph goes and is sold into bondage unto Pharaoh's house. Yet the hand of God is still upon him. Joseph still has the blessing of the Lord in his life. Everything that Joseph is doing, God is making it to prosper. He finds himself in Potiphar's house, and we find there that not only is Joseph the man blessed, but Brother Durden, the house of Potiphar is blessed because of this man of God named Joseph. It's not long until Potiphar's wife begins to make a play at Joseph. Joseph refuses. He runs out of the room, leaves his coat with her, and we know the rest is history. A lie is told, and Joseph ends up in prison. Joseph has the hand of God in his life. The blessings of God have been evident in the life of Joseph from the time he was a child until this time. And now Joseph is walking through the doors of the prison, Brother Tarvin, and when the door is closed, he's on the wrong side. I don't know about you today, but I would imagine that Joseph would be thinking and very possibly telling the baker and telling the butler, "This didn't turn out like I thought it was going to." I don't know where you are today. You today may stand preacher, pastor, evangelist, missionary. You might be able to stand today and say that I remember the hand of God being placed upon my life. I remember the calling of God being put upon my life. I remember the direction of God being placed in my life. And God has moved me throughout these years to accomplish his purpose. But things ain't turning out like I thought they were going to. Imagine Joseph's thoughts as he sits there in the prison. We know that almost immediately everything that takes place in the prison is placed in the hand of Joseph. Now, Brother Kevin, that sounds like quite a wonderful opportunity, but he's still on the wrong side of the bars. It sounds like a wonderful thing that the blessing of God is in Joseph's life, but he's still on the wrong side of the prison bars. Three things I want you to see today. Number one, when you find yourself in that position where you're saying, "I didn't think it was going to turn out like this," God knows your location. God knows just exactly where you are. God knows just exactly how to get to you. God knows just exactly how to deal with your heart. God knows your location. Sometimes you feel like you're somewhere nobody else knows where. Nobody can find you. Nobody can use their GPS and get to your location. But God knows where you are. God knows your location. God knows your lamentation. God knows the things that break your heart. When nobody else is around, Brother Carter, nobody else is around. Nobody else understands, and you're sitting there all alone, and the tears fill your eyes, and your heart is broken, and you're contemplating God's blessing and call in your life, but you don't understand. You weren't expecting it to be this way. God knows your lamentation. He knows just exactly what it is that's breaking your heart. He knows the difficulties that you're facing. He knows the trials that you're going through. He knows that you don't know the way out. God knows your lamentation. And I like this. The Lord helped me this morning with this thought. God knows my longings. I have sat with our pastor, and I have bared my heart to him multiple times. I've told him that there's one desire that's in my heart today. And Brother Cole, it's the very same that it's been for years and years, and that is to please him. My desire today is to please God. And Brother Keith, it's a wonderful thing. thing when you know it. It's a wonderful thing that the pastor might know it. But I'm glad today that God knows the longings of my heart. He knows those desires that are so deep I can't put them into words. He knows those longings that nobody understands. God knows the longings of my heart today. Amen. So wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, and you're telling your wife and you're telling your friends and maybe you're telling your pastor, I sure didn't expect it to turn out like this. God knows your location. He knows your lamentation. And he knows your longings. Amen. Amen, preacher.